Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and Cornhusker fans worldwide. This is Todd Wolverton welcoming you to this edition of the Five Heart Podcast. No, Greg hasn't made it yet this evening. Hopefully he can get in before we finish up. But I am joined once again by the one and only John the Dude Johnston. John, what's shaking in Minnesota? I'll bet it's not as cool as Iowa tonight.
Oh, my God, why?
The Field of Dreams game, 50 miles from where I'm sitting right now. Kevin Costner walked out of the corner.
Because if it's so cool, why aren't you there?
Because there's less than 8,000 fans. You had to put your name in a lottery and hope that your name got drawn so you can get tickets. That's why I'm not there. It might have been possible if I'd have bought a ticket for the lottery, but of course I didn't do that. But if you've never been to Field of Dreams, it's one of the most magical places. It's better than Disney World. And Kevin Costner walking through the corn tonight, and then the Yankees and the White Sox players, I got choked up. I got goosebumps. Incredible. It puts Iowa on the map once again. And no Nebraska fans want to hear that because this is a Nebraska Five Heart Podcast. I'm a Nebraska fan, so I'm going to defer to you, John. Dig me out of this pro-Iowa hole that I've just dug. What's happening in Minnesota?
Well, I was going to, you know, Field of Dreams was a really nice movie. It really did. I'm just not a Kevin Costner guy. But it was a very nice movie about relationships and father and son relationships that I never got to have because my dad died way too young. And thanks a lot, Todd, for bringing that up.
Want to have a catch, John? We could have it here.
Oh, God, I'm not going there. Let's move on really quickly before I think about the other things. What's going on in Minnesota? Well, the NFL preseason football has started. I'm going to go to a Vikings game on Saturday.
Well, good for you. You're not a Vikings fan, though.
No, I'm not. But I haven't been to – you know what? I haven't done two things for a long time. I haven't been to an NFL game in quite a while because I'm not a huge NFL guy, although last year during the pandemic, my family all got together every Sunday for NFL games because they had them. And it was my kids like the NFL and, you know, whatever. But the other thing I haven't done in a very long time, believe it or not, is actually be a fan at a sporting event. I haven't attended as a fan at a sporting event for probably 4 or 5 years at least, I think. And my neighbor said I have tickets. You want to go? And I thought, what the hell? Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I don't even know who they play, and it doesn't matter. It's preseason, but
right, it's the Denver Broncos, and I don't know who's. You know, I mean, it'll be like maybe I'll get to see Nate Stanley play for the Vikings and see if he can throw a pass further down the field than 5 yards. Well, Jake Browning, because other players won't get vaccinated, and God knows what's going to happen with all that shit this year, but.
Well, let's try to avoid that conversation. We could go down a very deep rabbit hole with the start. Nope, I'm not going there. Hey, you did mention football. It is football season, John. What's happening with the Nebraska Cornhuskers in fall camp? What are you hearing? What's shaking this week?
There is a fall camp happening. I'll be honest with you. Before you got on the Zoom call with me to record the podcast, I thought, you know, this August, 15 years ago, Corn Nation started. And it's been interesting. I mean, it's been a long time, 15 years of fun and a lot of frustration with Nebraska football. But I can't think of a time at which I was probably less enthused for fall camp than now. And that the reason for that is because it's the same. You know what I mean? I am excited for football season. I want football season to get here, and I know we're very close. And I am excited to see what Scott Frost has planned for Illinois and playing Burt again and and seeing our beloved Huskers line up against them damned Illini and crushing them into the ground to make up for that incredibly embarrassing defeat last season. They their fall camp is just, I'm trying, man, but it's just, we know that we have injuries to Austin Allen and what is it, Travis Vokolik, the two really good tight ends we have. We know that Thomas Fedone, I want to call him Fedoni because it rhymes with provolone, and I know both of those things are wrong, but I like him. So, yeah, I mean, that's like three really good tight ends down, so we could all poop ourselves over that. But, you know, we maybe when we get a two deep announced, if they actually announce a two deep, you know.
Well, I think you're probably right with that, you know, and there has, you know, while there are unanswered questions, and we've talked about that in previous podcasts, you know, what are the position areas that we're concerned about? You know, we know that wide receiver, we know that running back, you know, there's no established starters for sure there, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, one of the things where there is a lack of intrigue is quarterback. And, you know, for the last couple of seasons going into fall camp, there was always that question of quarterback. That is not an issue this year. Adrian Martinez is going to be the starting quarterback. He's going to be the quarterback until his body gets pulverized so bad that he can't be out there. But, you know, I guess there's a lot of Nebraska fans that are having a hard time getting hyped up for the season. And, you know, the Nebraska program under Scott Frost and under Mike Riley has played some of the poorest football that any people have seen in their lifetimes. And you know, that's kind of put a wet blanket over enthusiasm a little bit. But, you know, I got to just say, I'm excited. You know, I've never been excited about fall camp. Fall camp is fall camp. You know, it's that you it seems like it's something you have to endure to get to the start of the season. The reality is that we're going to have Nebraska football in a couple of weeks, and they're going to go out and they're going to play. And I, as a Nebraska football fan, I'm going to be jacked up. I'm going to be pumped up. I'm still considering on driving over to Champaign to see the game. It's maybe not as likely as it has in other years. It's just a four or 5 hour drive for me. I don't know. I'm excited. I think Nebraska is going to be a good football team this year. And this is not Kool-Aid drinking. I'm not a Kool-Aid guy. You know, I'm not expecting 10-2, 12-0. That's not what I'm saying. But I think Nebraska is going to be a very good football team. They're going to be fun to watch.
I think they're, you know, at some point I'm going to make the YouTube video that where we have to define what is a good football season, but that's not now. I do agree with you. I think we are going to be a good football team, but the fall camp stuff is, it's tedious right now. I guess, you're right about the pass, the quarterback being position being, you know, the part of intrigue. There should be more about the running back position, I think, than we're seeing. And I guess I think that we have like 23 guys ready to be a running back. It's like, they're playing. Marquise Stepp said he thought he liked Nebraska's offense better than USC. What do you say about USC had a pretty boy offense? And Nebraska had a more of a grind, grit offense, and he preferred Nebraska's, which, you know, it's just kind of a neat statement. But, okay, show me.
Well, you know, and John, I think also with the running backs, you know, we haven't seen hardly any of them. You know, so it's hard to get enthused about a battle for the number one running back when we really don't know. You know, it's not like we've got a known running back who's coming back after, you know, maybe coming off an injury, and then we've got this high-flying kid that, you know, showed some spark last year that might be challenging. So, you know, when it's unknown like that, it's kind of hard to get pumped up. You know, I guess another thing, and John, I just to transition here, but still talking about Nebraska football, you had an article this morning on Corn Nation, and I think one of the first comments that was made in the chat was something along the line, I'll paraphrase, I liked your edge throughout the article. And when I read the article, you know, this sounded like the John Johnston that I've known for years. And in essence, you take Nebraska, some Nebraska fans to task. So I think you did. And that was good because I think some Nebraska fans really need a kick in the ass. And so why don't you talk to us a little bit about, your thoughts about some of these fans?
Well, I think that Nebraska has a problem right now where no matter what we do, we're wrong. I've been in those situations very many times because I've been a consultant over the years. I mentioned that over and over, and I've done projects which you know are going to fail, but you have to see them through to the end so they can fail and you can go on and do something else. But right now, it doesn't matter what Scott Frost says. It doesn't matter what our athletic department does. Nationally, people are going to come at us. And, you know, Paul Feinbaum's going to say shit like Nebraska's never going to be good again because he knows he's going to get a rise out of fans. And, you know, I wrote the Jordan Larson article yesterday. And literally, I have so much stuff going on right now. It's hard for me to keep things juggling properly. And I thought I should wait on publish this. And then I mindlessly clicked publish on the website. And I thought, well, shit. I can't take that back, and it's gone. And then 1 hour later, some son of a bitch on Twitter goes out and finds a joke uniform that was published first in 2016, 5 years ago, about a little red Husker uniform, and puts that on Twitter, and the world explodes because that's what the world on Twitter does. That's what Twitter is, just a giant reaction machine. And, you know, when Jack Mitchell, who's a radio show host in Lincoln, tweets that people are calling him on the radio, expressing concern that there's going to be a little red uniform. My God, get fucking thicker skin, will you, please? I mean, we're in this position right now because everybody nationally knows they can just poke us and we'll jump. And will respond poorly most of the time. It didn't till it really take that much thought to look at that tweet and go, gee, that's never going to happen in real life, but it's pretty funny to look at. And I apparently poured gas on the fire when I retweeted it, which I thought everybody else would accept as a joke, that said, as a little red fan, I endorse this wholeheartedly. And I do like Little Red. That's a whole conversation in itself. But, man, that thing just blew up. And it took off. And it took off all over the place. I mean, that's the kind – put it this way. If you're one of those fucking people that says – see, I'm doing the – who is it? It's not Jack Black. But if you're one of those fucking people that says Scott Frost embarrasses by saying stuff, you're wrong. He's the coach. He's in a position where he has to say stuff because that's his job. Okay. If he's honest with people and says, yeah, we had a good practice, we all go, well, we've heard that shit before. If he doesn't say anything, then people get angry because he doesn't say anything. What Scott Frost has not turned Nebraska into a joke. What's Nebraska been made a joke by people who go on the internet and get bent out of shape because of a fake tweet, think it's real, and then start fucking going bananas all over the place. Or they shit themselves because they think we tried to get out of the Oklahoma game. That kind of stuff. Reactions like that. Just accept that right now, no matter what we do, we're wrong in the national eye. And stop responding to people when they poke you.
I want to say something so you can catch your breath and go for round two here. But I think to a large extent, this is an observation that I made quite a few years ago, actually. I think a lot of Nebraska fans are incredibly thin-skinned, and many of them are fatalists. And when you have the thin-skinned fatalist, you know, that's kind of a scary combination. And, you know, it's just kind of like with the little red uniform coming out, I got a total hoot out of somebody whose comment, follow-up comment was, yeah, the team has to wear these until they beat Iowa. And I thought, oh my God, that is so funny. Well, there are probably some people that were quite upset by that. You know, sometimes you got to be able to laugh at yourself. And if you can't laugh at yourself, you know, that's a pretty sad state of affairs to be in. Now, I don't want to, you know, necessarily, I don't want Nebraska to be the laughing stock. That's not my point. But I understand exactly what you're saying, where everything that's said is wrong. Scott Frost says, I'm really excited about the way Adrian is throwing the ball and commanding the offense. You know, we as Nebraska fans, that should instill some confidence, but it seems like everybody wants to duck for cover and say, oh God, now he's going to build my hopes up. Or he said it last year and Adrian wasn't crap. You know, I mean, yeah, I get where you're coming 100%.
So how many sleeps do we have until the Illinois game?
Well, the Illinois game is on the 28th, I believe, correct? I
think that's too much math for me.
Yeah, so that means we have roughly 15 or 16 sleeps in that ballpark. So.
My God. I can't wait until it gets down to I can count it on both my hands.
Well, you're not too far away from that, John.
Thank God.
Well, you know, there are a couple things. Another thing that's going on with Nebraska football and you've already drawn attention to it, the infamous little red alternative uniform. But apparently that's not the alternative uniform that Nebraska is going to wear this year. And it sounds like they invited Nebraska fans in Lincoln to go down to some street in Lincoln to check out the new uniform. Then they swore everybody to secrecy. You know, don't post your pictures. Don't show your pictures. And
people went nuts about that. National pundit.
What's that all about, John?
What's that?
Let's talk about number one. Why would the athletic department, the football program, say, come and look at it and then put the kibosh on, you know, we're going to let you in on a secret. If you come down here, you're going to be, you know, why would you even do that and then not publicize or put pictures out of this new uniform to the general public after these people?
You want to know why they do that?
Yeah, I do. I'm asking the question. Why?
They did that for one sole reason. And before I answer the question, did you see any photos of the said alternative uniform?
Yeah. And so my guess is they showed a picture of one of They showed the picture. Yes, they showed a picture of a guy with, well, what I assume is uniform. They showed a picture of a guy in a uniform with the flag over his shoulder and some guy running up behind him trying to take a photo of it. That's what I saw.
Yeah, a really shitty photo.
A really crappy
photo that looked like they might have gone, look, it's Bigfoot in a Nebraska football uniform. That's how good that photo was.
Did they get all those people down there to film part of the hype video? Was that it? We want some Nebraska fans there so we can get their reaction, and they're going to put together this hype video and show it when they, you know, announce the uniforms to everyone.
No,
that would be my
one guess. Guy in the athletic department who actually is very high up at an executive level looked at somebody else in the athletic department and said, I'll bet you if we put on an event and ask Husker fans to not take photos and share them on social media, that we can rely on them not to leak shit more than our own athletic department ever leaks anything. Because our athletic department leaks every fucking thing ever before it can be announced in the press.
And ladies and gentlemen,
one good photo,
welcome to Don Anon.
So I think it was our athletic department saying, look at how trustworthy our fans is. We need to find the people in our athletic department that are not trustworthy and
root them out
to them.
Root out the rats and fire them.
Exactly.
Get rid of the leakers.
That whole experiment was.
Well, they need to bring in Tony Soprano. So he'll find the rat.
Wow. You're getting rather caustic in your old age, Todd.
Anyway, you know, I tell you what, this whole alternative uniform thing, and I've said this in previous years, I think it's ridiculous. You know, so what? You know, you wear an alternative uniform. I guess everybody seems to think that they want to keep up with Oregon with their ever-changing uniforms and all that kind of crap. Nebraska is scarlet and cream, and they should be wearing scarlet and cream. My understanding is that this is some kind of a patriotic uniform, so there'll, I'm sure, be some kind of flag desecration, like they do all the time. You know, at some point in time, I wish, you know, the Daughters of the Revolution or the VFW or American Legion or whatever, I wish they would like blow up, you know, like a 20-foot by 40-foot poster of flag etiquette and send it to every athletic department in the United States of America so that they had a true perspective of what, of how you should display the flag, the stars and stripes, and anything that looks like a flag. Because athletic departments all over the country are desecrating our national symbol to no end. And I'm sure Nebraska's going to do it, just like Iowa does with that damn stars and stripes Hawkeye that they slip on their helmet every once in a while. So, yeah. So,
you know what? Here's a different perspective on that too, Todd. I play video games. Most people know that, they pay attention to us. And the one thing when you do, when you're playing a new video game for the first time, is you create your character. Okay. I usually go in and I just accept the default character because I don't give a damn. And my kids, when they see me do this, they get upset with me because I'm not going through the 84 face types and the body types and the mustache and the scars and the, you know, the color of the uniform or whatever it is. And when you play like Fortnite or some games like that, or you can buy skins so you can represent different people. So I think young people are way more into this whole, you know, dress up thing than I ever, I mean, for God's sakes, you know, one of the things I'm going to have to do if I go to this Vikings game is I'm probably going to have to wear pants or something.
Probably required. I would guess pants are required. I don't know if you can spread COVID if you don't wear pants. I suppose it's possible. So I would,
I would guess that we won't discuss.
Maybe you should have them check the wastewater in your neighborhood before you go off without pants.
Well, I won't be going without pants. My wife frowns on that, especially in public.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
What else happened? What else is going on?
Well, you know, you mentioned your article that you wrote yesterday. I want to talk a little bit about that too. But for our listeners out there that might not have seen it, you wrote an article about it's time for Nebraska to build a statue of Jordan Larson. And I am in absolute 100% agreement that that would be perfect. There isn't a statue or anything over by the Devaney Center where they play volleyball, home in Nebraska volleyball. I think it would be a wonderful tribute to Jordan Larson. It'd be a wonderful tribute to the success of Nebraska volleyball, the top flight program that the university has at this point in time. And it also epitomizes how wonderful an athlete Jordan Larson is. I think somebody posted online a list of the top 100 athletes from Nebraska, you know, not that long ago. Well, it was quite a few years ago, and Jordan Larson was number 10, and someone was making an argument. She's probably higher than that now. But I guess my primary argument for that, and you can chime in here, is you know, she's won three Olympic medals, gold, silver, and bronze. She won a national championship while she was at Nebraska. She was an All-American. You know, she grew up in Hooper, Nebraska. She is what you know, little girls who grew up in Nebraska aspire to be. What better person to represent not only the University of Nebraska, but the state of Nebraska than Jordan Larson. So I know that you have some of the same feelings about that. Why don't you chime in and share your thoughts?
I just think it's weird that whenever the statue, everybody talks about statues, it's always about men. It is constantly, let's put up a statue to this guy over here. But nobody ever mentioned statues for women. And the thing about, there's only one statue that we know of, right, that I'm thinking of, the Tom Osborne Brooke Behringer statue, right? And how many times do you see some little boy standing next to that statue? Okay, why can't we have a statue of Jordan Larson, I don't know, with John Cook and Terry Pettit and Sarah Pavan, something that little girls can stand in front of and getting their picture taken? Why can't that be a thing out in front of Devaney?
I concur 100%. I just think that, you know, if somebody were to suggest that, you know, Nebraska put up a statue of Johnny Rogers and put it on the southwest corner of Memorial Stadium, Mike Rozier on the southeast corner, and Eric Crouch on the northeast corner of the stadium, you know darn well that the money would come flooding in to put those statues up. But what about Jordan Larson, who arguably accomplished more than what those three guys did together? Is it because she's a female? Is it because it's not football? You know, and maybe there are people out there having that conversation. I have no idea. But, you know, there's a very strong fan base behind Nebraska volleyball. They don't have a problem drawing fans to their games. Right. I would hope that if someone were to bring this up, that people would get on board and do something. They need something over there at Devaney outside. So, you know, there's plenty of room out there to put a statue of Jordan Larson. I know one person wrote, they don't believe in statues until people are dead. Well, somebody ought to tell that to Dan Gable when he walks by his statue over at Carver Hawkeye all the time. You don't need
to
be dead.
Well, Tom Osborne isn't dead yet, for God's sake.
Tom Osborne's not dead. Yeah. So, and you know, how cool was it to be able to watch the Olympic volleyball and see those Nebraskans, you know, out there competing and winning the gold medal? And I didn't realize it until I read it after the fact that Jordan Larson had the final kill to win the gold medal. And when Nebraska won the national championship with her on the floor, she had the final kill that won the national championship. So that's pretty cool.
What else we got?
Well, a 14-year-old committed to Nebraska baseball from Kansas.
Is that Kansas or Illinois?
No, he's from Kansas. He's from outside Kansas City. Yeah.
Is that weird?
That is ridiculous. Someone said, well, it's not unusual because there's some kid south of Lincoln, you know, that goes to Norris, that when he was the same age, committed to Florida State to play baseball. I think he's still in high school. But yeah, this kid would not enter the University of Nebraska until 2026. Yeah, I think this is a little ridiculous.
Well, hey, you mentioned a baseball early to start this. Wasn't there a baseball movie that had a little kid Angels in the outfield or something that had a pitching arm that, I mean, come on, Todd. It's not that far-fetched.
That is a baseball movie that I didn't watch. I watch a lot of baseball movies, but I did not see Angels in the Outfield.
I don't remember the kid has an accident. He can throw like a 300-mile-an-hour fastball. My movie memory is terrible.
Yeah, I'm not good with movies either. I remember that if I saw it, but I don't remember squat from them, unless I've watched them maybe 10 times. But, you know, like I said tonight with Kevin Costner and the Field of Dreams games, you know, Kevin Costner was made for two kinds of movies, baseball movies and Westerns. And I like baseball and I like Westerns. So as far as I'm concerned, Kevin Costner, he's right up there with Robert Redford. Robert Redford, The Natural, Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid, baseball, Cowboys. Todd's guy. Yeah,
Joseph Wales.
That was Clint Eastwood, wasn't it?
No.
Clint Eastwood, Pale Rider, Hanging with the Curve, where he was a baseball scout. You see a theme here? Cowboys. Baseball Cowboys.
Okay, I'm looking this up. You bring up God dang it. The Outlaw Josie Wales, Clint Eastwood, son of a bitch. It was, which is the one with Robert Redford that people have the meme where he's nodding his head. Oh, well, let's move on. God dang it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think we've hit on everything that I had on the list that we were going to talk about tonight, John.
No, we haven't.
Okay.
Butch Cassidy, Jeremiah Johnson, that was it.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one. You betcha.
Okay, something really good I think happened today in the land of name, image, and likeness when BYU announced that a company that apparently is like an energy bar company or some kind of dang thing announced that they were going to sponsor or pay for the scholarships of all, or the tuition of all the walk-on football players at BYU. So I know that, you know, before everybody was like, oh my God, this is going to become the Wild West and it's going to change football. And the Alabama quarterback has $1 million. You know, I think that what happened today at BYU kind of shows that not all of this has to be terrible. You know,
no, I agree with you. I think that that's a great idea. And, you know, the thing that's going to be kind of interesting to watch is how many walk-ons does BYU have? How many walk-ons does Nebraska have? Be kind of curious who steps up to the plate at the University of Nebraska and does something similar. Because, you know, that's going to be, people are going to copycat that. That's going to be a way to support your walk-on programs.
You know, we heard about county scholarships for years, and now we can actually have them. So maybe all the 93 Nebraska counties could get their asses together and figure out how to have like a Lincoln County nil sponsorship of some sort. Come to Nebraska land, Days in North Platte alternative uniform.
Cap. There you go. There you go. With a little white goatee and mustache on there, you know, like Buffalo Bill. Or there you go. Well,
and then
you know,
a really bad thing happened this week too.
Okay. Please share.
The NCAA said that they kind of defined Baylor a little bit for having sexual assaults unreported all over their campuses. And they, what did they fine them? Like $4,000 or
$5,000?
$5,000. They gave them a year of probation. And when Nebraska in 2011 got probate, they got 2 years of probation and a $38,000 fine for giving away too many textbooks. In other words, we got in trouble with the NCAA because we were giving too much education to our athletes.
And yeah, Baylor got a 5,000, or excuse me, yeah, and like 5 years probation, something ridiculous. And but you know, here's the deal. I don't think that the NCAA, and you know, I was paying a lot of attention to this whole Baylor issue back when it started. It just sent me through the roof. I thought it was horrendous. And so I've forgotten a lot of the facts. But even back then, it was very questionable whether or not the NCAA had any jurisdiction to take action against right. Baylor. Certainly, the legal system did. You know, there is absolutely no question the legal system did. The Big 12 had probably more authority than the NCAA did to do something. And certainly the college would have responsibility. But, you know, Ken Starr, the famous Ken Starr, who's, you know, I think now at Liberty University, where all corrupt Christians go to, you know, get reformed. Ken Starr, you know, tried to do everything he could to downplay this and sweep it under the carpet and everything else. So no surprise. What I thought was very interesting is that as soon as the news hit about this, Art Briles' attorney is out there claiming that he's been fully exonerated. And that is not what was said. As a matter of fact, the NCAA in their statement said that this was despicable behavior on behalf of the people in authority at Baylor. Art Briles he built a culture that supported this kind of behavior that his football players were involved with. And, you know, that's lack of institutional control as far as I'm concerned.
And well, you know why they couldn't do anything to him, right?
Tell me, John.
Well, when you have – what happens is this. On any campus, if athletes are found to have more benefits than the rest of the student body, that's considered impermissible benefits, and that is an NCAA violation. The NCAA can come in and say things like, you gave your athletes more benefits than the rest of the student body. The NCAA concluded in this case that they really couldn't find that there were impermissible benefits because the entire culture of Baylor was a non-reporting culture. In other words, women could be sexually assaulted whenever they wanted by whoever they wanted, and apparently nobody would give a fuck.
And if that's what it appears to be at Baylor,
screwed up idea of a university hiding behind Christianity, I can't tell you anything after that. So yeah. I want to see what son of a bitch an organization hires Art Briles to be a football coach or attempts.
Art Briles should not be on a sideline at any college, university, high school, anywhere. You know, if somebody in the NFL wants Art Briles to be on their staff, I don't care. Go coach there. I think he coached over in Italy and he coached a year in high school in Texas, which just about made me puke. Art Briles does not have the character and is not worthy to coach college and high school athletes. He's the one that was responsible. He brought those players to campus. He promoted a culture that was incredibly lax in oversight. And there were people that were affiliated with Art Briles that tried to sweep all of this under the rug and put pressure on young ladies not to come forward or to retract what was said. It is a mess. And Baylor should suffer shame forever. The reality is that apparently in Texas, they don't have any shame. They don't know what that means in Texas because
well, Baylor is in Waco, and Waco is, you know how people look at Austin and they go, well, Austin's not really Texas. People look at, when you're in Texas, people look at Waco and they go, eh. So careful about condemning the entire state of Texas because it's damn big. And they're Texans, Todd.
So
they'll drive your house.
With at the risk of being called names by you here in just about 15 seconds, Ted Cruz and Greg Abbott grew up in Waco. Is that what you're saying?
I've stopped paying attention to real politics as much as possible. I have too many other things going on in life.
Sure.
And it just it invades my life, despite my my desire to keep it out.
You know,
I think the key is this. The key is this. What happened to BYU with a energy bar or whatever company that is, made a commitment to somebody and changed lives?
Yes.
And what happened to Baylor, because of Art Briles and because of the non-reporting nature of that, that changed lives too. And you can choose which one of those you want to be. You can choose to be Art Briles' lawyer and decide to be that kind of person that changed lives in that kind of way. Or you can be the guy that says, you know what, I'm going to go out and give some money to football players who are not on scholarship and hopefully make their lives a little easier and a little better because of it. You get to choose which one of those people you're going to be.
I think that's a great observation, John. That's absolutely. And I would hope that there are more people that want to change lives like that gentleman did with BYU, because
I think the thing is when people get up in the morning and they look in the mirror, they can make that conscious decision no matter what they're doing in their lives. And if they're a person who complains that the country's going to hell and the world's going to hell and everything's falling apart and oh, fucking socialism's going to take over and whatever. If they're a person that decided that they're going to be the Art Briles method of changing lives, then fuck you. You're one of those persons that is responsible for the world going to hell and everything falling apart. You decided and you continue to decide to be that person. And stop responding to Paul Feinbaum on fucking Twitter because he says shit about Nebraska football, goddammit.
Well, John,
I'm old.
Yeah. You know, there's another thing you mentioned that I thought earlier, the way I was going on some tangents. You know, we need to change the name of this. This should be like the Get Off My Lawn podcast or the, you know. Two old farts that are pissed, two pissed off old farts or something like that.
Well, they took whatever. The grumpy old men theme.
Grumpy old men.
I get stupid for using that term.
Yeah. Well, John, I think we've covered a lot of ground tonight. You got plans for the weekend. Sounds like you're going to go watch the Vikings play.
You know what else I'm going to do? You know what else I'm going to do? Here's some news.
Smoke some cream tea.
In six days, I have an appointment and a deadline to get a book to an editor, and it's not in very good shape. And I've just asked her, tell me if I'm going in the right direction. But it's honestly a book called Manage Your Damage, and it's about how I overcame anger, anxiety, and depression after my heart attack and brain injury. I imagine the people are going, "You overcame anger." And my response to them is going to be, you should have seen me before I figured this out. That's what I will be writing my ass off as much as possible in the next 4 or 5 days.
Well, that'll keep you busy, and that will allow you to maybe keep some of your angry clients at bay, you know? So there you go. Well, John, I think it's probably time to wrap it up. For another episode, another edition of the Five Heart Podcast. This is Todd Wolverton inadequately subbing in for Greg Mahochka on the Five Heart Podcast, where five hearts are all the hearts you need. John?
Go Big Red!